हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarna 5 Supremacy of Bhakti as the Ultimate Path Anucheda 109. It is said, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Yakinchana Sarvergunaistatara Samasate Suraha Harava Bhaktaksya Kuto Mahad Guna Manorathena Sati Dhavato Bahi. The devatas constantly dwell with all good qualities in that person who has pure bhakti for the Lord. There are no good qualities in the non-devotee who chases after temporary material objects with desire for material pleasure. Okay, Udriti, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. That's Bhagavatam 5.18.12. This verse praises the devotee who attains his position by bhakti attained through association. Mentioned in the previous verse with, quote, who would not hear the pastimes of Mukunda? Right, so his point is that he's attained his position through bhakti in the association of the Vaishnavas. Right, so it's only by the association of Vaishnavas we come to bhakti. It's only by the association of bhakti that our bhakti is cultivated. Right, so that's an important aspect. It's just not, one can't do this on one's own. And one would say, why not? Because I'm an individual, I'm separate, I'm this and that. Yes, but we see is that Krishna always interacts with all the devotees. They're never alone. Even it's him and Radharani, it's always with the other gopis or in the house of Mother Yashoda or in, you know, Radharani's house in Javat or, you know, with the other gopis at Radhakund or someplace. So there's always others there. So Krishna's always surrounded by loving devotees. That's the uniqueness of Krishna. What you see is that in Vaikuntha, you can have the thing where everybody goes and it's just Radha and Krishna on their own. I mean, just Lakshmi Narayan on their own when they rest at night, you know, and things are much more formal and all that. But we see with Krishna in Vrindavan, and he's always with his associates, right? So this aspect is that that it's through association that Krishna is pleased. In other words, we and Krishna, then that, you know, that doesn't, that will give some happiness to Krishna, but the amount given is said to be like one mustard seed. While if we are then serving the devotees, serving then Srimati Radharani, her devotion's like Mount Meru, right? Which is, you know, going from all the way to the bottom of the universe to the top. And so, that's, you know, very great. And then we add our mustard seed to that, you know, and then it becomes, it's like you have the main meal and then you add to that some little nuances and that, you know, that will be there. Let's say some nice music or lighting or the arrangements on the table or the particular association or, you know, anything like that, the location, all this you add, it just expands on the meal. But if you take away the meal, what's the point? But, you know, on their own, yeah, okay, they're nice. But when you have the meal, then they all come together and everything comes together. So that's the point is that when Srimati Radharani is there, she's serving Krishna, then we add our devotion to that in the association of the other devotees that are connected with there. And then in this way, it becomes a very glorious affair. Okay, so here's who would not hear the pastimes of Mukunda. So then, you know, so the devotees, they hear. They would hear. Those who don't hear, then there's no interest in them. Where there is niskama, akinchana, bhakti to the Lord, The devatas live in that place completely, with all qualities like dharma, jnana, and vairagya. He becomes filled with all the devatas. This means that by service to the Lord, all the devatas are served. Or the presiding deities of the senses, such as Rudra, ego, reside there with all good qualities and no bad qualities. Thus, the bad qualities of pride arising from ahankara do not arise. Sardarta Darshani 5.18.12. So then, the devatas, they reside with the devotee because they're being pleased on how nicely they're serving the Lord. Or you see, is because they're in control of all the different senses and everything. And so then their potencies are there, and they're residing there with good qualities, only no bad qualities. Right? The materialists, they're using their senses for themselves, so they're going to be there with some mechanical elements according to their karma, but otherwise then the bad qualities, because their false ego, the ahankara, is going to be taking one away from Krishna. But then we see here is then Rudra, then he being with the devotee, then it's all the good qualities that has from surrendering to the devotee. So the karmis don't have any good qualities. You may see by karma, because they follow Krishna's laws nicely, Krishna reciprocates that they have some facility, working with Krishna's laws and Krishna's energy by previous proper dealings, that some qualities are there, but those qualities are there in the mechanics. They're not there in the soul itself, right? That living entity doesn't manifest those themselves, because at any time they can be adjusted from that position. So those qualities are just there due to karma. But for the devotees, then these qualities are there because the deities are happy. I mean, the devatas are happy with the service to Krishna. So naturally, if you have Krishna, then you have his servitors and then those qualities and all that. So another thing, you're in the association, then you take on the qualities of those you're associating with. So the quality of your service also increases. But on your own, then you're dependent on your own position to do well. But you see, just like, let's say in a kirtan, you have a kirtan mela or something like that. So devotees that are there may be very inspired to do kirtan. So even if you're not so inspired that day, by being there in that association, you take on those good qualities. And then your service in hearing and chanting and remembering then is increased. Right? So the devotees have this. That means the non-devotees don't have this. That's all. So once one develops that shraddha, that position, that's unique. And so then they have that, but by good association that increases. By bad association, of course, then it can decrease. Like we see Dravida, Dridvida Gorilla. He was a commander in the army of Ram, at the time of the battle with Ravana. But then by bad association, then he fell to the position where he's acting like a demon. So, that's the point, is association becomes is so important. And then by that good association, one takes on all the good qualities of demigods. Akinchana means without desire. The devatas with all qualities like jnana and vairagya reside completely samaste in the devotee. So they're going to, yes. So it's just that without desire. So it's talking about, we can say, I don't necessarily manifest all the good qualities, because then there is some element, there is some desire there, some mix. And so it's not manifesting as fully as it can. But one must remember it is just by having that faith, you're already starting that process and good qualities are already there. We may or may not fully perceive them or others, but they are there. And then as we develop and we get rid of the anarthas, we become stable in devotional service, and we start to have that mood that it's just for Krishna, but then we see is that these qualities manifest more and more. So it's just a matter of time. Bhadrashrava spoke thus to Hayashirsha. Priti. After expressing disdain for non-devotees and expressing great respect for a devotee, the following Anucheta displays a lack of regard for practitioners of alternative spiritual disciplines who are averse to the worship of the Lord, right? Because we have to remember that spiritual means that there's the aspect of appreciating that we're the soul and not the body. And so that pursuance of consciousness in which we're trying to cultivate that we're the soul and not the body, that would be called spiritual, right? But the point is devotional means then it's about Krishna, that we as the soul are servant of Krishna, and we in the association of devotees serve Krishna, you know, do our best. That then is transcendental. So generally speaking, we say spiritual for us, it means transcendental. We're just meaning that it's not material. So it's spiritual, meaning it's devotional. You know, or we can say it's devotional, it already includes the spiritual because it's functioning on the platform, the soul's relationship, you know, the soul as spiritual, relating with Krishna, who's the Supreme Spirit. But if we need to, technically, we can divide them so we can tell the difference between. Otherwise, sometimes, you know, we see yogis and we think, oh, yes, you know, the meditating super soul, they're great devotees and all this and that. But you have to see what is their purpose. And so are they devotees? And that's just the process they're following. Or is it that they're not actually averse to the worship of the Lord? They think their process is the real thing. They don't want to do it. Like I've seen sometimes. You see, it happens in the beginning, but let's say you have, you know, a diverse program where, you know, anybody is coming, guests are there, and the kirtan starts. So sometimes you would see somebody, once the kirtan gets going and it's a nice mood, then somebody just starts going into, they sit in their asana and in their yoga, and then they do their meditation. They find that the kirtan is a very conducive environment for doing their meditation. So they give up the chanting for this. So that's, you know, they do something else. Even though Vishnu may be there in the worship, but it's not about worshiping Vishnu. It's about that worship of Vishnu helps their karma or jnana or yoga. And so then that becomes, that has to be seen, is that we can take that okay, we're bringing it to the spiritual platform, but we have to make sure that we're making these distinctions, you know. Anucheda 110. Followers of different paths are disregarded. From Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, O Lord, the jnanis, having disturbed senses, engage them during the day and sleeping at night, have their sleep broken by various desires represented in dreams. Even perfected sages obtain objects of enjoyment by karma. They continue to be reborn in this material world since they are averse to your association. Right, so we're thinking here is that the jnanis and the perfected sages, you know, is talking about. And so if you're talking about that these guys, there's a problem, that automatically means that anything below this is a problem. Right? So then anybody else on the platform of karma or is going to be rejected. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. This verse particularly mentions that even sages who are averse to the principles of devotional service to the Lord are also condemned to undergo the terms of material existence. Right? Even though they're very pure and their behavior, and you know, they study the scriptures and they have very rigid sadhana, very austere lifestyle, you know, very knowledgeable, all these, and still, it doesn't matter. They will continue in the material world because we see as they're engaging their senses during the day, and at night, then the mind is being disturbed by the accumulation of material desires since time immemorial coming up in their dreams. Not only in this age, but formerly also, there were many sages who tried to invent their own systems of religion without reference to devotional service to the Supreme Lord. But there cannot be any religious principle without devotional service to the Lord. Right? So that's the point, is religion is only there because of its service to the Lord. Then you can say it's actually religious. So even on the material platform where people aren't interested in religion at all, you know, they just, money is their God, or power is their God, or sense gratification of their God, or, you know, whatever it is, or their God, or whatever they may say. But they have to follow the laws of God to be actually successful in their field. So in that, they're following the religion. So without religion, devotional service to Krishna, is that there has to be that devotion to the performance of the activity that they're doing. But that itself is also being rejected here if it's being done without the idea of pleasing the Lord as a person. I as a person pleasing the Lord as a person, then that's rejected. So if that's rejected, then even just following the piety and these things is rejected. So we have to understand is they only work, as mentioned in the previous Adhikarana, that they only work, karma, jnana, and yoga, only work because bhakti is there. But the point is if it's not directed at Krishna, that's the goal, then we can understand that it's not properly situated. Its only interest is in getting the benefit of karma, jnana, and yoga. So it's not devotion. So then we're not going to, that is not of the path that's going to work. Right. The Supreme Lord is the leader of the entire range of living entities, not just some, but all. And no one can be equal to or greater than him. Right? So even if the living entity comes to the spiritual platform, he doesn't become equal with the Lord. Or some people think I'm greater than the Lord, right? They're just their ego. Even the Lord's impersonal feature and all-pervading localized feature cannot be on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so interesting, impersonal feature, right? So it's just how the potency is everywhere. So it is all pervading, but the principle of it is the impersonal aspect, that it's not manifest, in something particular, right? And then the all pervading localized feature. So you have again where you have that all pervading aspect, but it's localized, right? It's Paramatma. And so you still have these two features cannot be on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why when you're talking about the Lord dealing in these ways, then you talk about them as junior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So you say Krishna is superior to, even as Paramatma or as the Guna Avatar is Vishnu or Mahavishnu, they all see themselves as devotees of the Lord. Like we see Advaita Acharya, he sees himself as a devotee of the Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Therefore, there cannot be any religion or system of genuine philosophy for the advancement of living entities without the principle of devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.10 purport. So even you're following these lesser elements that are recommended in the Vedas, still without devotion, they won't work. So that means if they won't work without devotion, then devotion already includes, the activities and benefits of all these, why wouldn't we do anything else other than just bhakti? Right? It means I serve Krishna, I do my activities and my occupation to please Krishna, I'm doing his devotion. So from that, anyway, but one, my maintenance will come. Why would I engage in anything else? Because by engaging in direct devotional service, I maintain. By engaging in my karma and offering the results to Krishna, I maintain. All right? But the difference is that in the one, I'm focused more on the occupation than on Krishna. That's the prominent thing. Just because you're doing a detail doesn't mean that's the main thing. Just because when you stop to tie your shoes and all that doesn't mean that the shoes become all important, even though that's what you're doing right now. You have the overall thing, but if you only are thinking of your work and that and getting ahead, getting more money like that, but then giving some to Krishna like that, then it's not going to be as effective as when you see is that I'm only engaged in doing these things to maintain myself for these purposes. Like the Brahmachari Vanaprastha Sannyas, it's not so much, the maintenance isn't the main point. One is just doing the duties. Grihastha is then, because he's taking that responsibility of family and all these things, therefore there is a prominence of that aspect of Varna. And so then he accordingly then engages in activities to maintain himself, right? But so the devotee, he goes beyond that, seeing all that. And so so there can't be any religion. So if you make up religion that's not in line with the laws of nature, and the Shastra, of Guru Sadhana and Shastra, you know, that are expressed through interaction with the laws of nature, then it's bogus. It's not genuine religion or philosophy. And in actuality, if it's not in line with devotional service with the personality of Godhead, since he is the one who decided to expand and make the material world. Paramatma, as Paramatma or Brahman, he didn't decide this. As Bhagavan, he's decided this. So therefore, they'll be incomplete, and they're not therefore a genuine philosophy or genuine religion or a system, you know, like this. So it has to include up to the devotion to the personality of Godhead as a permanent feature. That takes on the ultimate path. Okay, then people of this nature who are averse to worshiping the Lord end up in samsara. What to speak of sages who have perfected their method? If they are averse to things related to you, they also enter samsara. That is expressed in this verse. Then, next verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10. O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position, they think themselves liberated. Their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2, 32. Udriti Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There are two types of bhakti practices in Anga of Jnana. The jnanis practice bhakti a little bit because the scriptures say that without bhakti, jnana cannot be perfected. Some think of the deity as an illusory form and thus worship with disrespect. Others simply worship without the disrespect. The first type take extreme measures of austerity, and after a long time, when bhakti bestows knowledge which destroys ignorance and brings about a Brahma-Bhuta state, it disappears. Right? So the bhakti disappears, right? And this worship. These people are falsely liberated. Vimukti manina means they think they're liberated because they're not interested, inclined into the material energy. But the thing is they still have a materialistic mentality. The linga sharir is still a prominent aspect, you know, because this I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Because I am the controller, because I'm the controller, therefore I am happy, I'm enjoying. So they can't get away from this, right? They cannot be called Jivan Mukta. According to the Lord's statement, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahya, I am attained solely by devotion. Because of not attaining direct association with the Lord, due to absence of bhakti, and because of presence of offense, the burned up seeds of karma again begin to sprout, and they fall into the material world again. An example of this is given in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandrodaya, or Chandodaya, concerning Ratha Yatra. Quote, if a person out of illusion does not follow the Lord during Ratha Yatra, though he has burned all his karmas with the fire of knowledge, he will become a Brahma Rakshasa. End quote. In the Vasana Bhasya, also there's the statement, quote, even a Jivan Mukta, he offends the Lord, full of inconceivable energies, will fall into the bondage of karma again. The bhakti of the second type of jnani brings about Brahma-Bhuta, and though extinguishing both knowledge and ignorance does not disappear, it then brings about a direct realization of God. That type of jnani attains the status of Jivan Mukta. The Gita describes such a person, Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma. Pakyamam Abhijanati Yavan. Sardarta Darshani 10.2.32. So we see it's like the four Kumaras, then they would be functioning with this touch of bhakti without disrespect, right? Because the first one is illusion, so they don't respect, because they say is that the Lord, it's an illusion, but at the same time they're Narayan, but then that's an illusion. They don't think I'm illusion. So, you know, they're just disrespectful. So it'll come up to a point, they'll get up to a point, and then they may come up to that point, but then due to this disrespect, at some point they will fall again. Well, the other then we see is that there's no disrespect. They're doing the things, but they don't have that respect from the point of that, the devotion as a direct bhakti, but it's simply as an anga of their jnana. So then they come up to that platform of being liberated. And then from that platform, then they start to appreciate the Lord, and then they move forward. Right? So that takes on the thing. So that's why association of devotees is so important. Because if there's association, the first kind of jnana can be avoided. But in any case, the second kind of jnana, by that association, one will take up bhakti, either earlier or later.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
The second type of jnanis are the ones who generally their focus is on Brahman feature of the Lord. It's not much on the Bhagavan feature. It's like
yes,
we see when the in Krishna book when Krishna comes and they glorify him as the Brahman himself.
Like that.
So it's more about they didn't realize the higher aspects, but they are fixed on the aspect of Brahman and Paramatma features of the Lord. So that's why it's not offensive.
So basically they're Brahma bodies. So on the first class, the group is basically Maya bodies. Yeah, because the Brahma bodies by association can become devotees. But the first group, they're just offensive until they give up that mentality, then they can't move forward. Yeah, no, it's very nice to see. Also, you see here is that the subtle part of Bhakti Mama Bijanati is that the devotees, as they're going up, they're also going through these stages, but because they're going through very quickly and easily because they're following the path of devotion. So as bhakti already includes all the other paths, they perfect the path of karma by engaging body, mind, and words in the Lord's service. And so whatever was the gain by karma and all that they go through that and they gain that knowledge and detachment. So they naturally come up from the karma yoga platform to the jnana yoga platform. And then the jnana yoga platform, they'll appreciate how the Lord is pervading everything, then how he's controlling everything and how all these things. And they go up through these stages of appreciation of the Lord until they finally come to the natural point of that, that pure devotion, where it's about the relationship with Krishna, as we see in the, and so they can function on that platform, like we see in Bhava, then they can function in that platform because now they appreciate their position in relationship to the Lord and the devotees. Well, before that, it's always been their interest. That's why they've gotten there. But it's been more of appreciation of the Lord on how he is, you know, how he's God, like this. And then, you know, it moves forward. So the devotees will go through these also in the natural, in that development from Shraddha to Prema. But they're doing it by the quick path. And so bhakti, as bhakti already includes these, they'll go through these until they come up to their natural position. But for those, you know, working the circle of samsara, or working in, you know, in this aspect of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, then there it's an anga of jnana for them, rather than jnana is just part of bhakti. And so for them, the path and the austerities and all that are very important, though not as austere as we see the Mayavadis. They're the most gross on these things. So, yeah. So that's why you can see is both these things apply. We see is when it's talking about the stages and that, you know, and great jnanis, like in 11th canto, when we're talking about it, both the devotional, but also you see they're sometimes talking about the not devotional. But they're great devotees, I mean, great Brahmins, so they're always respected. But then of those who are worshiping from that proper path, they've come to the point of appreciating, you know, on the Bhagavan platform. And so then they're in the other group. Yeah? Good. Okay. The great sages, the devatas, the chief of, the chief siddhas, the demons and humans, what to speak of vidyadharas and charanas, cannot ascertain dharma established by the Lord. Then, quote from Bhagavatam, Swayambhur Narada Sambhu Kumara Kapilo Manuhu, Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasakir Vayam, Dvasa Saite Vigyanimo, Dharmam Bhagavatam Bhata, Guhyam Vishudham Durbodham, Yam Gyat Vam Maritam Ashnute. My dear servants, Lord Brahma, Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, Swayambhuva Manu, Prahlada, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Sugadev Goswami, and I myself know Bhagavat Dharma, which is confidential, pure, and difficult to comprehend. Knowing this, one attains immortality. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:19-22. Right? So all these great sages, devatas, chief siddhas, demons, humans, you know, what to speak of Vidyadharas and Charanas, they cannot ascertain Dharma established by the Lord. So only when you follow in the footsteps of these great personalities, the Mahajanas, so again, back to association, then one can understand. Otherwise, the one can't understand the Dharma of the Lord. So that's the point, is even though they may be understanding the secondary dharmas, they can't understand the primary. And so they don't really understand the secondary. Because it's just like, if you don't know cooking, you don't actually understand the utensils in the kitchen. Right? So like that, is it means if you don't understand, devotional service, you don't understand actually making money or management or, knowledge and teaching and stuff like that. Only in devotional service do you actually understand it. They may know some of the localized dharma, as connected with Paramatma, his control of his material energy as based on Shastra, either from Shastra or by Shabda or by Pratyaksha and Anuman, in some way that they're getting, but it stays on that lower level. And so it won't go beyond. They will stay within the cycle of samsara. But those then who following these servants of the Lord, that the 12 Mahajanas, then following in their footsteps in devotion to please Krishna, the person, Bhagavan, who is beyond even the positions of Brahman and Paramatma, then they can go beyond. They can actually attain to the proper position. Right. So continuing, we 12 persons instituting Dharma investigate the Lord's Dharma rather than teaching in general from our own works. Because this Dharma is invisible, guhyam, impossible to comprehend by others, it should be accepted because on knowing it, one attains the highest result, amritam. Yeah, so one teaches from the Lord's, so that's why we when we do classes and stuff, we prefer to teach directly from the scriptures, that has Prabhupada's purports, or, the books of the Acharyas recommended by Srila Prabhupada, and seeing them in the context of Srila Prabhupada's purports and all that, that we would rather do that, right? Like that, rather than something we put together ourselves and written. And so therefore, based on what we've written, then we're going to just teach like that. No, and even if we do put something that it's based on what Krishna has said, what the scriptures say, what the Acharyas have said, and therefore we're going. So the Mahajans, they work like that, so let alone us, just like it said before, great sages, devatas, chief siddhas, demons and humans, what to speak of the Vidyadharas and Charanas, right? Means if you've already mentioned great sages, devatas, chief siddhas, and that, it automatically includes the Vidyadharas and Charanas. So if we've already mentioned that the Mahajanas, they prefer to speak directly from the scriptures, and in their teachings is always based on the scriptures. Therefore, why would we not do that? So therefore, we wouldn't want to put together our own, as we like it, Bhagavad Gita, Okay, then some quotations. The bliss of Brahman realization, accumulated by samadhi, lasting for half of Brahma's life, cannot compare to one drop of the ocean of happiness of bhakti, Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu 1.1.38, right? So one drop of the ocean Right? And this is half a life. It can't even, won't. It won't, you know, we're talking 151 trillion years. And so that's going to be 50 years of Brahma, right? You know, one of the, you know, what's that? Parardha. Yeah, I think it's what it's called, half a life of Brahma. So the gopis dancing for one night of Brahma, you know, like that. And this is, it's can't even compare to one drop, that one drop that's there. And they're going for a whole night. So even though they've been in meditation for half a lifetime of Brahma, it doesn't even compare to one drop of the ocean of bliss that they're absorbed in for one night. You know, so you can't compare them. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.38. Then from Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone who faithfully and continually hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the highest type of prema to the Lord, will quickly destroy lust, the disease of the heart, and will immediately become steady. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.39. Udriti Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The result of hearing and chanting the glories of the rasa, which is the crown jewel of all pastimes, is also the crown jewel of all results. Right? So by hearing the glories of the rasa, Krishna's interaction with the devotees, especially he means with the young gopis of Vrindavan, then that being the crown jewel of rasa gives the crown jewel of all results. One who hears continuously anu shuninu yat and glorifies or writes in poetry Varnayate, this autumn rasa lila idam and other similar pastimes, and other pastimes described elsewhere by other poets, Cha of Krishna, who spread himself out among all the gopis, Vishnu, one who pervades, attains the first appearance of prema, even within his condition of having material desire. But by the influence of prema, however, quickly the material desire is destroyed, right? Because what's happening is that our natural affection for Krishna, that's called prema. And when that is not directed at Krishna, you know, we turn our face from Krishna, that takes on the feature of lust. And so that's then the material, you know, a reflection of prema, that natural love for Krishna, that's going to be reflected here, and it'll take the form of lust. So that lust itself then is trying to find that natural prema that we have for Krishna, but mistakenly through the material energy by engaging the senses, and then the engagement we get from that sense, you know, engaging the senses with the sense object. Well, then that basis of prema, because it mentions here that first appearance, because it says Shraddha to prema. So the point is prema is the perfection, the maturity of bhava, or that natural attraction to Krishna and that relation with Krishna. When it comes to the point of that full stableness, that's called prema. But that bhava itself is what extends down, you know, in its natural form, but just in smaller amounts, in ruchi and asakti, but it extends all the way down to the point of Shraddha, that taste that you're getting in Krishna consciousness, those moments where, you know, you just think, yes, this is very nice, and that these are just touching on those first moments, you know, first appearance of prema, just that little glimmer. You know, I mean, there's the full rising of the sun, but there's the first rays, you know, the first beginning of light, where it's changing from just being darkness into the Aruna Doi. So that's the point, is that's what you're dealing with. But the point is you can't call that platform prema, because you just are having Shraddha, or you just see the importance of the association of devotees, you know, or you see is that the importance of engaging in the sadhana bhakti, you know, as recommended by the, you know, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, or they, you know, removing the anartas and giving up that material identities and attachments and desires for becoming stable in Krishna consciousness. And then being stable is that taste that one's getting in Krishna consciousness is even, you know, is the important essence of the stableness. and then naturally becoming attached to Krishna, you know, attached to this taste, and therefore that taste is coming from Krishna, you become more attached to Krishna, till that gives rise to it taking on its full mood of bhava, and then that in the association of the Lord's eternal associates, and that matures into prema, right? And then it's said by then serving in that line of Krishna with the gopis, you know, serving in the line of those, you know, in other words, following for us, Srila Rupa Goswami under Srila Prabhupada's direction, then that can bring you to the highest aspects of prema, right? So that's the point, is prema can, bhakti can bring you to that. And we see of that, then the aspect of worshiping and appreciating Radha and Krishna in their worship. This doesn't mean that you only hear rasa dance and nothing else. You hear what's coming along. Like now we're studying the Sandarbhas. Now it's talking about this. Before that, it was talking about analytical elements. So it's all about Krishna, because as you see, is that directly or indirectly, like it mentions how Krishna is with every gopi, right? He's among all the gopis, right? Means, in other words, he's in between, you know, he's standing next to each gopi. Right? So each gopi thinks Krishna is with me alone because he's Vishnu, one who pervades. So he pervades the assembly of gopis by being with each one of them there. And so all these wonderful things, or that he and Radharani are pleased by the rasa dance, where all the gopis have accepted that supreme position of Radharani and her love for Krishna, then Radha and Krishna, their interaction, they're surrounded by all the other gopis, then their affection and love and that wonderfulness, that ananda that's there, then pervades down to all the other gopis that are taking part in this thing. Then we also see is that aspect of Vishnu pervading through. You know, so in either way, whether it's him physically or the ananda, so it's, you know, is it Krishna, Govinda, or Gopinath, features of the Lord, they're all pervading through, right? He's with everyone, he's interacting with everyone, and they're all experiencing that ananda that Krishna is feeling because of his, being happy with that rasa dance and that central feature of Srimati Radharani. And then all other, you know, in other words, Mount Meru is there with Krishna, and so all other mustard seeds are all perfectly aligned. Right? Is that okay? Yeah. Thus, it is understood here that this prema is not weak or dependent, like jnana yoga. It is it's not weak or independent like jnana yoga. It is independent, right? That's the whole point. Or it is independent, or it is independent. It is independent. You know, point is these all these features are there, right here. Hrit-roga refers to material desire. When the word is used in relation to the Lord, however, such meaning is excluded. The kama in relation to Krishna is prema and has opposite effect to the material kama. Right? So hrit-roga meaning about desire, it means the material desire. When the word desire is used in relation to Krishna, like kama or kamanuga bhakti, then its meaning is excluded, that it doesn't get rid of that. That is kept. In other words, that the prema is cultivated and the lust on the material platform, or it means having attraction not connected to Krishna, is removed. So that attraction is there. That's why raga nuga, but it has to be, it's not a system. It's being attracted to Krishna. You're following a Vaidhi sadhana, but you're attracted to Krishna. So now it's called rag bhakti. Right, so that's the whole point, right? Okay, you know, it's just like, let's say you have Krishna's childhood pastimes, right? Or so you have, you know, childhood. Why I'm saying, referring to Krishna, is to bring out that you become adult at 16. So below that, you're technically a child by the Vedic literature. But now you're going to have various stages in that, you know, point. You know, you're going to be you know, a toddler, because, you know, physically you don't really know how to interact or how to deal, and how, you know, without the parents there to take care of you, you're really not going to do well, right? And that, and then you have then the Pauganda aspect, where then you're able to interact, you know, with others. You have your friends, your whole thing expands, you know, you start to understand what to do and not to do. And basically you can function within the world that's been created by the adults around you, right? Before that, they actually have to take you through it, you know, pretty much like that. Now, at some point, so, but you're doing because you know what should be done and everything like that. But then you see is that adolescence means then the whole mood of that interest in the whole, you know, adult life and the lifestyle and everything that comes up and arises in the heart. Right. So even though you're still a kid, there's a distinction there between that and the activities you're doing are the same ones you've been doing, you know, in the younger stage of life. Right. You know, it's not like there's a difference. Krishna's taking care of the cows in Pauganda, and he's also taking care of those in Kaishore. His duties don't change. But from Kaishore, then you see that prominence of, you know, his interaction with the gopis is it's there. Well, before that, then it's there in the background, but it's not the prominence. The cowherd boys are the prominence, and mother, you know, and the early ones, and Mother Jashoda is the prominence. So the point being is that Vaidhi Sadhana, it's not that it changes for Rag Sadhana. It's just that your mood has changed where you're naturally attracted. It's not based on the intellectual platform like the Vaidhi is. You know, okay, this is the right thing to do. This is, you want to do this. And you're always, you want to please Krishna, so you do what Krishna wants. Krishna says, do these things. So rag means doing those things because they please Krishna. Vaidhi means that you're doing these things because then you'll get to the point where you will do it to please Krishna. Yeah? No? Okay. Okay. The person who hears and glorifies the rasa is described as learned, dhira. If material karma is present, how can prema appear? In that person who is devoid of foolishness, who accepts scripture, dhira, who is full of faith, prema can appear. Right? So it's not by some sadhana or this that the sahajiyas are talking about. It's by, he's devoid of foolishness means he'll follow only guru, sadhu, and shastra. He's not going to make anything up, as we saw before. That's the those who have that kind of mentality making up their own religion won't get anywhere, right? Who accepts scripture, dhira, right? So dhira means that you're also thoughtful and all that. So, you know, not whimsical. So you do things based on scripture. Who's full of faith, right? Then prema can appear, even though they may have material desire there in the heart, but because of these overarching elements of, how do you say, of that devotion to the Lord and surrender to the Guru and following the process as given, as the Acharya has given, as the Mahajanas have given, then prema can appear. And to that degree that they advance on this path from Shraddha to prema, then prema is manifest. So when you get to the ninth stage, that's mature Shraddha. So in other words, prema is mature Shraddha. So if you don't have prema, then you're going to be on some element of, I mean, the devotional service, some level of Shraddha. So it's how much faith. So if you don't have faith in the scriptures and guru and the process, you can't be put yourself on an elevated platform, right? So immediately there for the sahajiyas, because they're not worried about scriptures or this or that, they can never be anything beyond the neophyte, you know, at best. And even that, you know, you're just being, generous, because actually they're not rightly situated. Prema does not accept those who have no faith in the Lord or who are offenders to the holy name. Sardartha Darshani 10:33-39. So prema does not accept. That means prema in his mood as bhava does not extend down to your position. You're trying like that, then you're always going to get some taste and be inspired. That's the point. How are we doing? Okay. Therefore, it is said, quote, Other persons, bewildered and intelligent by very powerful Maya, having material intelligence, engaging in great rituals with elaborate arrangements mentioned in the Vedas with flowering language, generally do not know this Dharma, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.25. Right? So here is that, you know, you're talking about even those who are following the Vedas and they get bewildered, let alone those who are rejecting the Vedas. Right? So the devotees, even though they're following the Veda in the essence of being engaged in devotional activities, you know, according to the Bhagavat, Pancharatrak, and Vedic, you know, Daiva Varnashram elements that have been given by the Acharyas, you know, and recommended in scriptures. So therefore, they're not bewildered. But others think that, no, because I'm doing so elaborate and all that, that's what's going to make it so nice. And so therefore, then they have to be very, very careful. Like that, that they do not know this Dharma, the essence of devotional service. So then, Charya continues, Mahajanas refers to other persons with great qualities, received from Sampadayas, receiving knowledge from these 12 devotees. Thus it was correctly said that the Jnanis continue rebirth in this world. Right? Yeah, Brahma spoke thus to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, right? So you can take this as very authoritative, right? So the Mahajanas means here is that from Mahajanas here is not just the 12 devotees, but anyone who have great qualities, that they've received these qualities from the sampradayas, right? These four sampradayas that have received knowledge from these 12 devotees. Because we see is that they're either the heads of the lines of the sampradayas, or they, we see is throughout in their pastimes and that, they're instructing people in these sampradayas how to properly, nicely follow it. So that's then what's bona fide. Anything else, anything made up, you know, so in other words, the six schools, then, you know, no, like that, because that won't get you the absolute truth. And, you know, even within the so-called Vaishnav, those who are you know, have these other ideas that's mixed with impersonalism or this or that, or the, you know, mixed with Sahajya elements like that. And so this way, then it won't work. It has to be from great personalities, receiving knowledge from the in sampradayas, receiving knowledge from these 12 Mahajans. Yeah. Okay. Riti. The next Anucheda cites from the Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Supreme Lord himself states that of all yogis, the devotee is the best. It is further explained that bhakti is meant to be practiced by individuals of all varnas and at all times. Right. Yeah, so it's not restricted. Like these others, it restricts. Whenever you have any kind of a specific philosophy, you know, like these six schools of philosophy, or even outside the Vedas, where you have specific groups of persons, you know, by an ideology like this, then the problem comes up is that they it's for a particular group of people, you know, by some particular definition, right? Even world religions is for a particular group of persons generally. So the aspect then it comes as no, but devotional service goes beyond that. It's by all individuals from all varnas and at all times. It's not that only certain times they can practice, other times they not, you know, like that. This underscores the universal applicability of bhakti, emphasizing that it should be undertaken by people of all backgrounds, regardless of the specific spiritual discipline they follow. Right? In other words, bhakti should be brought in, and by doing that in the association of devotees, then one will come to the point where then one takes it up, just like we are seeing, is that so-called yogi that would come to the kirtans, and then when the kirtan gets going, then he would get into his meditation. When he gets really, really good, he'd get into his meditation. With time, then, you know, he's taking part in the kirtan, with taste for the kirtan actually is more, and he doesn't go into his meditation anymore. He just continues in the kirtan, and then with time, you know, he gets up and starts dancing, because otherwise yogis know you sit and that you're pissed, you're not, you know, crazy like everyone else. And then he's dancing in ecstasy, he's taking prasad and all that, and then next thing you know, he's a devotee. So they get this, they will come to the same position. So whatever their spiritual practice, if they follow it properly in line with and faith in and devotion to the Supreme Lord and the Association of Devotees, they will then come very quickly to the proper path and be situated on the ultimate path. Supremacy of Bhakti is the ultimate path. The other one, because of Bhakti, can help them get there. But the point is we just talk about pure Bhakti. And we may talk to other persons, whatever their position, and show them how to include that pure bhakti in whatever they're doing, you know, but that's just the process of how you give bhakti to whoever is there, you know. So in other words, you have a standard for someone who's on that platform of Shraddha, how they can come up. And you have ways for people below Shraddha, how they can come to the platform of Shraddha by engaging what they're doing, you know, through the process of pure bhakti. And then those who have come to Shraddha, then because they have those residue desires that they had from before they came to Shraddha, then during the neophyte stage, how they can also engage those elements of karma, jnana, Krishna service. But the point is it's still just the pure bhakti that's pervading all of it. There's no need of these so-called, you know, ideas of soft preaching and hard, all these things. You don't need that, because bhakti naturally is able to pervade everything because it's the original. You don't need these other aspects. You need to understand pure bhakti and how it works. Then you can do these things nicely. But from not having these things, like coming up with their own religious processes, then you don't see the effect. You see the effect of using soft preaching is, where are the devotees? Either there's no devotees, or who's there, they're attached to their isms, and they try to get everybody else to follow their, you know, these political platforms of their, you know, ideologies. And so it's just a disturbance, you know, as Rupa Goswami says, because it's not based on Shastra, to the pure process of pure devotion. Therefore, don't do that. You know, that's the thing. Just take it as it is. You understand it. So if you're saying, oh, but it's not here, it's that he's not mature enough in his devotion to understand how everything's connected to Krishna. Show them that. Don't throw out his conviction to pure devotion, though he's not very mature. And so now he has to adjust and diversify. And then in doing so, they lose that firm point, because that being fixed, that's the important thing. So Prabhupada's talking about neophyte pure devotees, that even though the devotees didn't know much on the Shastras, they were pure devotees because they were fixed in that. Though by understanding of Shastra, they would be classified as neophytes. But on being, having that faith and conviction to following the orders of the spiritual master and serving Krishna, they were pure devotees. So you don't want to lose that. You want to just, you know, cultivate that and refine that and develop that. So that's the problem when you bring in these modern, these philosophical and spiritual or political, social elements. They're based on the idea of diverse understandings. Oh, you have to diversify. You're too rigid in your understanding. You have to broaden your understanding. But in that method of broadening, you just add in more things, but there's no core central point by which you measure everything else. So it becomes, it is inductive, and it doesn't have, and why it doesn't get you out, inductive can't get you out, is because all these things, you have 10 different, you've taken from 10 different philosophies like that, you know, whatever you like, but nothing is specifically the prominent one by which you define the other nine. So that's the thing, is pure devotional service. It's devotional service is the ultimate path. All other elements that you're using, all other religious elements, have to be in line with and supportive of bhakti, pure bhakti. You know, and it has to be as shown by the acharyas, the mahajanas, then following the 12 great personalities, in the teachings coming down from the sampradaya. Otherwise, You just diversify the way you think, and now you don't actually have any specific way to think. Then it's just whichever ism or ideology comes up at any one time, then that's what you're dealing with. So that will keep you on the neophyte platform. And it will, you can even be very, if you're not careful with it, it can even reduce your position down. It could cover your position, like that. So that's the whole point, is we have to understand the descending process means there is an absolute truth. All other truths are seen in context of that absolute truth. But the inductive is there is no absolute truth. You're just broadening and deepening your understanding of all these varieties of truths, and no one is better than the other, and so like this and so like that, you just have a hodgepodge or a kitchery, and so there's no way to actually. Means I may in one area use one to do, but in another area I'll use another measurement, one I'll use here, one I'll use there. And so that's inconsistent, and that's why you won't have any consistency. But here is that, no, you have the absolute truth. You always have to bring that in line with that and that. And so then these others are there. So in other words, even in the Western thought, Socrates was known as an absolute. You have to judge everything by the absolute. But that wasn't appreciated by the, all these, the sophists and that that were around at the times. So they got rid of him. Plato was being a little bit careful. And then his student, then Aristotle, then he is just on the gross. No, it's all relative. And so therefore, then they'll say, yes, he is our guru, like that, because they've given up that there's an idea of an absolute truth. So no, there has to be descending. There is a difference, and the effect is different. You can't say they're all the same, unless you're, an adherent of, what's his name? Ramakrishna, right? Okay, so then we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shula Prabhupada.